Lord, thank you and bless you, Lord, from the worship to the word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us during the worship, during the fellowship, Lord, how good it is just to be in the land of the living, Lord, just reasonable health and a right mind. God, we just thank you for the little things this morning. We bless you. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need your word. So much has happened from Sunday to Sunday, Lord. My God, we need to hear from you today. Speak to our hearts. God, we just don't want information. We want revelation, Lord. And then let it lead to transformation, transform lives. Let us live this way. Monday through Saturday and Sunday morning, Lord. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rule and reign. Teach. We open our hearts and minds to receive what you're speaking to us. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have first Sunday, we have our communion Sunday, and we always try and do a miracle or a proverb, a psalm, or a parable. So I don't know what this is. It's kind of a combination of this. A miracle or a parable or something. All right, somebody say amen. It's something this morning, right? So we pick up the story, John 4 and 25. Okay. So let's read 25 and 26. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee. So as we read that passage, it is a lot going on right there. It's a lot going on in the Word. So it's a couple of issues we have. Number one, Jesus is talking to a woman. And back in those days in the culture, they really didn't have anything to say to women. So he's at the well and he's speaking to a woman, and he shouldn't be talking to her at all. Not only because she's a woman, but she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew. And so they had a serious hatred for one another. So Jesus is breaking down all type of social norms, and he's crossing all type of lines right here at this point. Somebody say amen. He lets us know there's no place for racism in the body of Christ at all. Sexism, no place for it in the body of Christ. Jesus told us that a long time ago. It's nothing new. And not only that, Jesus is tired. They've been on a trip. He just left Judea. He's going to Galilee, and so he kind of takes a shortcut through Samaria. So he takes a shortcut on purpose. Somebody say amen. He took a shortcut on purpose so he can break down all types of stereotypes, gender norms, racism. Amen. Sometimes God will lead you right to the people that you don't want to be with. He will lead you right there so you can share the love of Christ with them. So he's tired, so we see his human nature. Right, when we stand before God, we'll never be able to tell Jesus he didn't know what it was like to live down here. Actually, he did, because he did come down. And right now he's tired and he's thirsty, and he asked the woman at the well for some water. He talked to her about living water, which he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about a relationship with God. And we pick up the story, and she's talking about the Messiah in verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah has come and is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And he calls you to God. I have all these notes. It says, read this. You take notes. I tell you, I have notes on my notes. So I encourage you taking notes. But Jesus is conversing with the woman. He goes, read this. He knows Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. She knew the Messiah was coming even though she was living raggedy. Hey, Pastor, what do you mean? She was living raggedy. Look at verse 15. Let's go to verse 15 and see how she was living just a little bit raggedy, amen? The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not. Jesus said unto her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have answered well. You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the guy who you shacking up with now is not your husband. Oh, just living a little raggedy. Just a little. But despite all that, Jesus talks, and remember, he shouldn't even be talking to her, but he is. Let you know, as far as we can go way out there, we're never too far for Jesus to bring us back. For Christ to bring us back. So she's with this guy. He's not living with her. He's living with her, but they're not married. They have five husbands. Okay. Somebody say, man, it's hope for us. Amen. The woman said unto him, I perceive that you are a prophet. Okay, so let's go back to verse 20, 25. Jesus, you know she's living raggedy, he doesn't count it against her. We're all thankful for that. And she knew the Messiah was coming. You have people now, they know Jesus is real. They know that he's coming back, but they still live raggedy. Don't give up on him. Keep praying. Don't give up. This shows us right here. Nobody's beyond the reach of God. Keep praying for them. Keep praying they would have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And just like it changed her life, Jesus will change their life. It says, family, we have to share Christ with others regardless of how they are living. Jesus is the only person that can change lives regardless if you are living a raggedy life or if you feel you have it all together. You and I need Jesus because one day, just like this lady, we will meet Jesus and be judged by Jesus only. Just like this lady, we're going to meet him and have that conversation. So, as I'm examining this, I had to think about it. She said that he's going to tell us all things. I don't know if I want somebody telling me all things. I don't know if I want that. I don't know. Stop right here. I don't know. So I have it written down. It says, when we meet Jesus in his judgment, he'll tell us all things. That will be a humbling experience, especially for those who think they don't need Jesus because they were a good person. Jesus starts telling them the motive behind the motive behind the motive behind the motive of the actions that they participated in, the true motive of their heart, of why they did what they did. So, you know, I always find we got some good people to get back. And so I remember when we were in high school, first time we dated, so you guys are 31 this year, 31 years, 30 years. And so, you know, I try and stick out my chest and say, you know, I've been married to my wife to be 32 years. Hey, man, right. That's what I was saying until God put it to me this way. He's going to ask me, do you remember how you met your wife 32 years ago? And do you remember what you were thinking? Because he knows all things. Do you remember why you offered to carry her books to class? Oh, because I'm such a nice guy, praise the Lord. Do you remember what you were thinking when you were carrying her book? Do you remember what you were thinking of how you were, what you were going to do when you really got next to her? Do you remember how you said you were going to do it? Says right here, family, we're not that good as we think we are. We're not as innocent as we think we are. We all need a Savior. When Jesus starts telling us all things, and you want to stick your chest out when you stand before God, I'm going to tell God a few things. No, you're not actually not going to tell him nothing. Because we need a Savior. We're not that good. And when he starts breaking it down, why you did what you did, what you were thinking about, what was your motive behind the motive, what was your end game, what was your heart thinking about when you did what you did, that's a problem. It's going to tell us all things. That business deal, cheating on the test. I say it all the time. I still don't know how I got through college. Somebody say, I don't know how I got through. It's just a miracle. Cheating on the test, the lie you told your parents. Do we really want God to tell us all things? When he rewinds that tape from day one, when you were 2 years old throwing a tantrum, you don't even remember, but God recorded it. When you said you were away on business, nobody ever said that before. No one ever used that one before. When you told your wife you were away on business, tell all things. Some people are gonna have a rude awakening. When Jesus tells us that we're what we were really thinking when we interacted with others and how our thoughts were filled with sin, we will then realize how desperately we need a Savior. Somebody say amen. And since Jesus is going to tell us all things, that's why I willingly confess and forsake my sins daily and live a committed life to Christ daily, because I realize I need some help. And Christ did for me what I couldn't do for myself, which is save me and rescue me from sin. Because I already know how that other encounter would turn out with Christ if I have no relationship with Christ. He says, do you realize how difficult it's going to be to stand before Christ? And he tells you everything. Tells you everything about you, and then he tells you one thing that you never wanted to hear. That one line, you depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus knows if you and I have a relationship with him. He tells you he never knew you, that's a bad day. Because he knows all things. So we have to be sure that we have a relationship with Christ. Because he knows all. Jesus knows all things, and he knows that you and I pretended all these years. Or maybe you didn't feel the need to have a relationship with Christ, but the bottom line is Jesus is the Messiah. You rejected God's salvation plan because you thought you developed one that was better. Now you spend eternity separated from Christ. Why we have the urgency that we need to share Christ daily with anyone who will listen. Remember that we plant and water and God gives the increase. You and I don't have to save anyone. We don't have to try and change anyone. Just pray for them daily. Don't try. You know how hard it is to try and change somebody? Anybody ever tried to change somebody? Let me save you some time. It don't work. It don't work. And those of us who have grown kids, amen. Not you, Jay, your brother who's not here. Whoever's not here gets talked about, Jay. Good thing you're here this morning, Jay. And not you, Jay. When you turn 18 next month, then not you. So it's not you either. But we can't play Holy Spirit with our grown kids. We just got to pray to the Holy Spirit for our grown kids. Just like somebody did for us. Just like somebody, if God could reach and work with us, he definitely can reach and work with our kids. So parents, just don't worry, pray. Do all you can for your kids and support them, but then just pray for them. They have to develop their own relationship with Christ. They have to navigate their way. And you can trust God that he will see them through just like he did for you and I. Amen. Verse 26, Jesus tells the lady, he says, I am he, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, what are you doing, or why are you talking to her? They were astonished and surprised that he was talking to this lady. Remember all the social norms, and he shouldn't have been saying anything to her. but his disciples kept. They went and got some food, because remember, Jesus was hungry, so they left to get some food. He's sitting at the well. The lady comes. He asks her to draw some water. He talks to her about living water. Disciples come back, and here's Jesus. And amen, what is he doing talking to this woman? Matter of fact, she's a Samaritan from the city of Sychar, which means a drunken city, and he's talking to her. Verse 28, then the woman left her water pot, went her way unto the city and said unto the men, which is another problem because women don't go telling men in that culture, they don't go tell men anything. But she went and told them, verse 28, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Somebody underline that, I'm telling you. Is not this the Christ? But notice how in verse 28, she left the natural water because she'd been filled with the living water. Just makes a big difference. When you get filled with the Spirit of God and Christ is in your life, you realize that stuff don't really matter. The temporary natural stuff just don't mean as much as it used to. I'll leave that any day for a life with Christ. I appreciate it, but if I got to leave it, I'm gone. I'm going with Christ. It won't come between me and Christ. I can't let it come between me and Christ. We thank God that in verse 27, when he's talking with the lady, he's showing us that it doesn't matter where you come from. There's some everyone in heaven. There will be ex everythings in heaven. Ex liars and criminals and thieves, and prostitutes, and CEOs and bums, ex everything. Is that my time up? Thank you, Annie, for the 15-minute warning. I was talking with a guy, and he was telling me that he didn't want to go to heaven because he wouldn't want to be in heaven if he was there next to a serial killer who would ask for forgiveness. I don't want to be next to some guy like that. Are you serious? See, people don't, we think we're better than we are. Because we all, trust me, none of us deserve to be there. But when you don't understand the grace of God, then you want to put labels on people and say, man, I don't want to be, well, bless you. Well, you're not going to be there. Because make a note, Jesus doesn't discriminate. He doesn't. Everybody's an ex something because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bless you. And he was telling me this, and I was just sitting listening. I wasn't arguing, but I was sharing with him the grace of God. He didn't understand it because we think we are better than we are. But take a quick look. JL, take us to Revelation 7:9. And for the congregation, add this to your morning worship scriptures, Revelation 7 through 9, 7, 9 through 12. Because we're created to worship, we have to worship something. Make a note, you have to worship something. That's the revelation this morning. One of them is that you have to worship something. We worship teams and logos and jobs and businesses. There's going to be a game on tonight. And just watch the crowd. They're going to be singing. They're going to be dancing. They're going to be cheering. They're going to be worshiping. And it's a team. It's a player. It's a logo, a basketball, or something they're going to be worshiping. That's okay. You can enjoy the game without worshiping it. Some people just don't understand. And they worship those things. And you all know I'm somewhat of a Golden State fan. So I used to be a Laker fan. I used to be. But I'm so old now, I can't wait another 20 years. I might not be here. I got to get a championship. I got me 3 additional championships, brothers. All right? So I can't wait that long. I can't wait for them to come back. Reba, I just don't know what's going to happen, so I got to jump on it. I jumped on it about 4 or 5 years ago. Still California, so I'm good with that. All right? And then Tracy and Little Mama, they know I'm so crazy. I don't watch the game. I tape it and I check the score. If my team wins, I watch it so I can relax. I can't be all jacked up watching the game. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't. I ain't going to be sitting there, what's going to happen? I'm too old to be waiting for what's going to happen. So I tape it, Jerry, okay? And if my team win, I watch it relax. And Tracy, are you too relaxed? They must know. Of course, I wouldn't be watching it. If they lose, I delete it. I don't watch that. Yeah, I didn't watch that. I can't be sitting around in knots like, what's that? No, I'm too old. I don't even know if my heart can take it. I ain't got that in me. I can't be wrapped up in nothing like that but God, okay? You know what I'm saying? But you're watching, you're gonna see people worshiping because you gotta worship something. People worship their jobs and their businesses and all that. People worship their church. It's not even about God, they worship their church. They worship their pastor, which is a huge mistake. Somebody help me out this morning. But look, as we look at, take a glimpse into heaven, as John wrote the Revelation, the book of Revelation, which is really interesting. And a few of us in here last month, 2 months ago, we had the opportunity to go to the island of Patmos and went inside the cave where John wrote the Revelation. And so he's got the cave there, got his little pillow there, which was a hole in the wall in the cave where they said he laid his head. Of course, on the island of Patmos, it's a church there because John was there and John started a church and it's still there. And so when you just see the reality of when we read it and then we go and we see it, it's pretty amazing. So here's John writing. He gives us a glimpse into heaven. In verse 9, he says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number." It's a lot of people. Look what it says, though. "Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." So let me just want to highlight a few things. It's a great multitude. It's a lot of people. This is in heaven, and they're worshiping in heaven. So what we're going to be doing in heaven, one thing we're going to be doing is worshiping. It's all nations. You all understand what that means. Somebody from every part of the world is going to be there. And every kindred, every kind, is going to be every kind of somebody in there. Family, don't get caught up in the racism stuff and the satanically created oppressive systems. They're all around us. We know it. We can't get around that. But don't you think that God discriminates because he doesn't. Don't let that type of hatred be in your heart. Not as a believer, not as a Christian. It is unjust, it's crazy, it's bizarre, and it's out there, and it's satanically influenced. But God says when we get to heaven, it's going to be some of everybody there. You're not going to be a racist in heaven. Talk about, I don't want to be next to you. I don't talk to those people. I don't deal with them. You're not going to be there. Your heart's not ready for eternity in heaven. You got to get it right through Christ. Or allow Christ to come in and get it right. Because everybody's going to be there. And you'll watch the media today and it's going to be something that's black and white or this or that because Satan keeps it stirred up. He wants you to hate people. He wants you to hate them because of the way they look or the way they act. So you can have that hate filled your heart as opposed to Christ filling your heart. And remember, Christ knows everything, so we can't pretend that I love people when actually I don't. You're not going to pretend your way out of that one. Kindreds and people, tongues, and before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation unto our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Verse 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Somebody underline that. They worshiped God. It's a lot of things you and I can worship. Appreciate, yes. Worship, no. We just got some work done at the house and it looks really nice. But one earthquake can take that thing down. Maybe gone tonight. So I look at it and go, oh, it looks nice. And I got to keep moving. All it takes is just one shake. Can't worship the house. And you all know we just getting our homes ready for somebody else anyway. You ain't gonna take it with you. Get it nice. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Appreciate your family. Appreciate everything. Don't worship it. Appreciate it every day, because we know we're old enough to know that things change overnight. And we can't take none of this stuff with us. I've really come to have an appreciation for everything. I'm not going to waste a day being upset, being angry. I don't have that to waste. Somebody say amen. I just don't. I don't have it. I'm just a little more mature right now to know that, man, this stuff gonna change. It will be no regrets. I'm not going to waste time hating anyone. I'm not going to waste time arguing with Tracy. God, all I say is yes, dear. That's it. That's all I say. Reg, McGee, take notes. That's all I say is yes, dear. McGee, let me hear you say it. That's it. That's the revelation this morning. Somebody say amen. That's it. It's just... I don't hate people. I can't hate people. I got a shared love of Christ with everyone. Look at verse 12, saying, amen, blessings and glory. Family, I'm asking you to add this to your morning worship scriptures, your praying and fasting scriptures, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's how you wake up. That's how you start your day, and you're good. It puts your whole life back in perspective. The boss can't say nothing. Kids can't get on your nerve. Wife can't get on your spouse can't get on you. No, because amen, blessings and glory and wisdom. God has everything we need. His glory, his brilliance, his wisdom. Have a heart of thanksgiving. If you don't underline anything else, underline that one, thanksgiving. But I would say wisdom too, because we need wisdom to navigate through this old crazy world. God deserves all the honor, and he has all the power. I don't worry about nobody, because God has all the power. And might be unto our God forever and ever. It's not temporary, it is forever. Amen. All right, let's go back and finish this up. Go back to John. That's why when Jesus met the woman at the well, he didn't discriminate against her, because he already knows. Talk to anybody I want to. Pray for anybody I want to. Not gonna hate anyone. Just because other people don't like him, I'm gonna pray for him. That's why Jesus didn't have a problem talking to this lady. Verse 29, she says, come and see a man which told me all things ever I did. She's really saying, come and meet Christ for yourself. Christ will tell you all things that you ever did, said. Oh my gosh, this is a problem. Think about this. He's going to tell you I just went through the five senses, right? Okay, he's going to tell you everything that you said, you thought, you listened to, you watched. Oh, that's a problem right there. That you touch, that you ate, that could be a problem too. That you heard, that you smelled, that you imagined. He's going to tell you, I don't really want to know all that stuff. Not all of it. Just show me the good parts. Let's edit this, God. Not all things, just some things. I need you to show me everything I've watched and listened to and thought and said and imagined. Says, think about that. Do you really want to be held accountable for all things that you ever did? Really? We live in a self-righteous, hypocritical culture that wants to get rid of God. You're going to have to stand before God, the risen Savior and Messiah and Christ, who's going to tell them everything that they ever did. That's going to be a bad day. And you would tell me that you don't need a Savior to rescue you and save you from your sins and from yourself. Somebody say amen. Going to save you from your sins and yourself. All right, so let's wrap this up. Amen. This first closing. Amen. So then they went out of the city and came to him. Underline, they came to him. She shared Christ and people came to him. Share Christ. Don't worry about trying to get them there. You share Christ and God will create the situation where they will come to him. But if they don't know, it's nowhere to go. Share Christ with people. You plant the seed, somebody else will water, God will give an increase. But then notice they went to Christ. So make a note that you should run to Christ every day. Because we don't know what a day might bring. We need to be as close to God every day. Because we don't know what that day is going to bring. Somebody prayed for us and God moved on our heart. I remember people talking to me during my teen years. I didn't get saved until I was 17. But people had planted seeds ever since I was 8. And for those of you who know me, you've known me for a long time. You know it's a miracle that I always thought I was a nice guy. But nice guys don't cut it, right? Nice guys are filled with sin. But for Christ to touch my heart at 17 and to be a pastor, that's a miracle. But somebody planted a seed and then God created the circumstance where I didn't have a choice but to say, God, I surrender. I need help. So plant the seed. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on family. Don't give up on friends. Don't give up on that crazy boss or that crazy coworker. Don't argue with him. Pray for him. Every morning we should be praying to God inside our hearts, for others inside our homes, and then we bring it to the church. What we do here should just be an extension of what we've already done. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, man, I got some food that you have nothing, that you know nothing about. Jesus said, I got spiritual food. It's not always about the physical food. I got food that you don't have any knowledge of. He said, I'm connected to a source called God the Father that you have no idea of how empowered I am. Family, that should be our attitude when folks ask us how we are holding up. Man, how you doing? Everything just fell apart. How are you doing so well, man? And I'm connected to a source that keeps me going. It lets me know that God is still good. Amen, Brother Darren. As we say, God, despite all we've been through, God is still good. In the midst of life and death and health and sickness and victory and defeats and success and failure, marriage, divorce, triumphs and setbacks, are you going to fall apart? I'm connected to a source that you have no idea. So just trying to tell them it's a lot that goes on. Even when we take communion, God knew all this stuff would be going on. That's why I said, do this in remembrance of me. Because the world's going to try and make you think I don't exist. There's going to be some crazy stuff that happens. Mass shootings and all this other stuff. He says, do this and don't forget that I'm coming back for you. Don't forget that I died for you. Don't forget that I'm there for you. I'm just a prayer away. Jesus, I got stuff. I have a source you don't have any understanding of. Therefore, the disciples said, look at verse 30. They still didn't get it, verse 33. Therefore, the disciples said, hey, did anybody give him something to eat? You brought him some food. What is he talking about? Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Underline that that's our purpose in life. Our methods are different, but our purpose is no different. We all have the purpose to do the will of the Father that sent us and to finish God's work. Should never go through life saying, I don't feel like I have a purpose. It's right here. How do I accomplish my purpose? What is my method of doing the Father's will? And that's different. That's what you pray about, but you don't have to worry about a purpose. Says here, our purpose is not to become rich or famous or to start a business or to grow a church or to get a degree. That's not your purpose. To get a job or a career or to go to college or to get married or any other temporary thing. Those things are nice, don't get me wrong, but you use those things as a platform to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It says bottom line, and say you drop the mic right there. Family, let me say that again. To do the will of God is our purpose, and to finish His work. Not to become rich or famous, or to start a business, or to grow a church, or to get a degree, or to get a job, or a career, or to go to college, or get married, or any other temporary thing. But to use those platforms to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Bottom line, Dr. Mike. Verse 35 through 38, Jesus talks to him about planting seeds, about harvesting. This is where the parable comes in. He uses a plain illustration to express a godly principle. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There's plenty of people out there that needs to be saved. We see them every day at the gym, at school, on our job. Say, and he that reapeth receive wages and gather fruit unto eternal life. We're out to be saving souls, that both he and the sower and the reaper may rejoice together, that whoever planted, whoever watered, God gives the increase. We all rejoice together when someone gets saved. It's nothing more beautiful than seeing someone who was headed to hell change their address, now is headed to paradise with Christ. We all can celebrate that. Verse 37, here is the saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. So family, just, you don't know if you're sowing or reaping, you don't know if you're planting or watering, God gives an increase, but share Christ. God, my prayer is that you give us somebody this week to share Christ with. Send somebody our way, at the gym, on the job. Somebody's falling apart on the job and gonna ask you, "What? How do you keep it together? I don't know what to do, could you help me?" And say, "Look, I'm glad you asked. It was in service Sunday and the pastor was talking about it. And the word was saying, get connected to Christ and stay there." He said, "I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labor." So somebody's been working on somebody. It could be on your job. It could be at the gym. Somebody's been talking to them, praying for them. And then you come and you share a word. Changes their life. Saying, somebody already working on them. Add to what God has been doing. Finish the work. All right, now I'm really closing. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Underline that again. That's three times that they talk about Jesus is going to tell us all that we ever did. So if you don't get anything else, you just know. It ain't no secrets in heaven. It ain't no secrets before Christ. Amen. Cover them with the blood, Lord. I said this before. It's some things I hope nobody ever finds. Somebody say amen. I don't ever want that to come out. But through her testimony, so don't be afraid to share your testimony. Don't be intimidated to share your testimony. Because of her testimony, many believed, many committed, many got saved because of what she told them. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him, or they begged him that he would stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. Take a look at that. Remember, he's not even supposed to have any dealings with them. They begged him. He stayed 2 days when he shouldn't even been talking to them or hanging out with them or anything. And I'm telling you, when you're in your prayer time, man, just beg God. God, I need you. Stay. And God will. God wants to spend time with us. It's hard to say you love somebody and you don't spend any time with them. You should have daily morning time. And we practice here every morning before when we get up, just to spend the first 5-10 minutes with God, with our worship scriptures, with our praise music, and the Proverbs, whichever proverb it is. Today is the second. We read Proverbs 2. Which is incredible. Proverbs 3 tomorrow. Oh my gosh, incredible. And not as a ritual, but because, God, I really need you, because it's just too much going on and I can't handle it myself. God, I need to know that you're real and I need to know that you're there. And that's what happens in verse 41. And many more believe because of his own word. Write it down, because of the word of God. Get into the word. Look what they said unto the woman. Now we believe. Now I can trust God. Not because of your testimony. Somebody say amen. I'm trusting God. I love your testimony. I appreciate it. But I'm not believing and trusting God because of your testimony. For I've read this word, I've heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, because I read it for myself. Now I got my own testimony. I appreciate yours, but now I know and I'm trusting because the word. Because I've spent time with Christ, and I know. Heard for myself that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Makes a big difference in your life when you spend time with God and his word and know your God for yourself. Not because your parents went to church, or your grandmother went to church, or your uncle was a deacon, but because you spent time with Christ and you know God for yourself, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior of the world. So we're going to stop right there. So as we prepare for communion, I just want us to just kind of reflect just on the word this morning. What Christ did for us. You don't have to be a member to take communion. If you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, please take communion with us this morning. Amen. God knew that there would be wars and rumors of wars. JL, put up 1 Corinthians 11:23. He knew there'd be death and marriage and birth and divorce and jobs and pink slips and success and failure and contracts. He knew all that. But he said, do this in remembrance of me. Family, keep your life in biblical perspective. Christ said, I've forgiven you, so you have to forgive others. We don't have a choice. First thing Christ said, he said seven things when he was on the cross. The first thing he said is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Family, it's no way that we can discriminate or hold unforgiveness in our heart for anyone if we're truly connected with Christ. Just think about if he started telling us everything that we did. All I can say is, God, forgive me. And God, I have to forgive others. And so as we take communion, Lord, we're just grateful and thankful that it reminds us that you paid a physical price so that we could be free this morning. Free from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Your body was broken. Your blood was shed. We don't take communion as a ritual or as a tradition, but as a reminder that Jesus Christ resurrected on that third day. Saved us, did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness, past, present, and future. No one else can make that claim that when they resurrected, that when they died, they resurrected, split time in half. Time started over, went from BC to AD. Split time in half. Told us what heaven was like and how to get there. And left evidence all over the world that he resurrected. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Brother Jared. Go on and elevate that which represents his body. God, we thank you that you paid a physical price, which you didn't have to do. But just like when you encountered the woman at the well, you showed that you don't discriminate. You want all to be saved. You came and died for all mankind, not just one certain group of people, but for the human race, which was lost deep in their sins. And while we were yet sinners, you died for us. When we didn't care about you, you died for us because you knew there would be a time when we would want to come back to God, and we needed a way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. So you had to be beaten and bruised and mocked and clowned, spit upon, ridiculed, humiliated, so that we could be free. And you willingly did it. For the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross. We thank you, Lord, as we remember that it was a physical price paid so we could stand here free in Christ this morning. Go on and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something had to die and shed their blood so we could be free, to rescue us. In the Old Testament, it was lambs and bullocks and doves, a peace offering, a sin offering, trespass offering. But in the New Testament, it's the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Christ died once and for all. And all that believe would have eternal life through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for shedding your blood for us and cleansing us, Lord, that when we stand before you, that all we ever did, all is going to show up, is that we accepted Christ and we were cleansed and covered by his blood. And everybody can say amen to that. So we thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for us. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. We walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Lord, we thank you for rescuing us. We know that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've been made cleansed and washed in the blood. And we are free. God, let us live a resurrected life because we are free. Let us live a transformed life because we are free. Let us live a changed life because we are free. And let us share Christ with others because we are free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Pass them to the aisle.